And so it's my desire this morning to let the scriptures speak for themselves on both sides of this issue. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. I have this memorized. This is a portion of scripture I thought very helpful to me. I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of things I do not understand. And so I memorized these verses. Romans 11, 33 to 36. I'm not going to try and quote it to you this morning. I'm actually going to read it. Let's look at it together. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning, and thank You, Father, that we can look into Your Word and learn about You. And Father, You said that grace and peace be multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. Father, I believe that we can spend a lifetime of learning the Scriptures and meditating upon the Scriptures and still not completely search You out, even as this Scripture says, you know, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of You, dear God. How unsearchable are Your judgments and Your ways past finding out. Father, I thank You for everything that You have taught us. Father, You've given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And so, Father, we love You and thank You and praise You and ask that You would continue to teach us, continue to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we be more like Jesus Christ each and every day of our lives. We ask for Your help now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's sovereignty, man's responsibility are both clearly taught in the Scriptures. These truths seem to be irreconcilable to a finite mind. What that means is this: our minds are limited. God is infinite. It means there is no limit to God. Where can you go and God's not there? You know, when you think about some of those things, it can almost be mind-blowing. Several years ago, we were down in Ohio and went over into Kentucky to the Creation Museum. And we went in, what they have there is like a planetarium. Maybe you've been in some of those. And they showed our universe compared to the universes of space. And, you know, you think of our universe as huge, but it's actually small and compared to all the universes that are out there. And it's mind-boggling. And this thought came to me. Is there any end to the universe? There's no end to God. God created it all, but I don't think man, even with their Hubble telescope and all the things that they can see out there, they've never reached the end of it, have they? It's unbelievably huge. And the Scriptures tell us, I believe it's in Psalm 139, we can't go anywhere and escape God's presence. If we ascend to the lowest part of the earth, behold, He's there. If we ascend to the highest part of the heavens, behold, God is there. God is infinite. We are finite. We have a finite mind, and so we cannot understand an infinite God. There's just no way. Listen to what Job 11:7 says. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? That's an obvious answer to that question, right? There's no way. We can't find out God to perfection. The Almighty to perfection. In Psalm 139, he says this: such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. There's no way you and I can attain unto the knowledge that God has. There's no way we can search Him out. And so when we think of God's sovereignty, we accept that. We see it in the Scriptures. And we know that it sometimes looks as if God sovereignty rules over us where there's absolutely no man's responsibility, but we find out that's not true. Man does have responsibility, and we'll look at that here this morning. God has not told us that we need to fully understand these things. However, we do need to humbly bow before the Almighty of His Word and believe what God has revealed, even though we may not fully understand it. Divine sovereignty and human responsibility are, some, like somebody said, railroad tracks. As we look at them, they appear to be parallel, and we cannot see how they could ever come together. But as we look at them in a far distance at the horizon, they seem to meet. So it is with these God-revealed truths. We have trouble seeing how they come together, but in the mind of God, there's no problem whatsoever for these two to exist. So with that, let me read some more here. The danger comes when we emphasize one truth to the neglect of the other. We must keep God's truth in careful balance. Man's responsibility must not be overemphasized to the neglect of God's sovereignty, and God's sovereignty must not be overemphasized to the neglect of man's responsibility. Both are clearly revealed in Scripture, and both must be believed and received as God's truth. You may have heard this illustration before. Somebody coming to the gates of heaven or the gate of heaven and seeing on the gate a sign above that says, "Whosoever will may come." And as the person enters into heaven and turns around and looks at the other side of the gate, it says, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. Both are true. Both are true. Let's turn to Matthew 11:27. We're going to look at some verses here. Matthew 11:27 and verse 28. We're going to see God's sovereignty, and we're also going to see man's responsibility in these two verses. It says in Matthew 11:27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now, doesn't that sound like God's sovereignty there? God is saying that only those whom the Son, or to whom the Son will reveal him. Okay, now look at the verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We see in verse 27 God's sovereignty. We see in verse 28 man's responsibility to come unto Him. Okay, do you see that? Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 22. I'm going to turn to my Bible. Even though I have these in my notes, I'll make sure I copy the right references and so forth down as I'm reading. Matthew 24 and verse 22. All right. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now, look at chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew 23 verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." See that? Man would not. Again, "ye would not" there shows man's responsibility. God would have, but they would not. And so we see in these verses, God's sovereignty And we see man's responsibility. Now turn to John 5. And verse 21. John 5 and verse 21 says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Hey now, somebody who is a Calvinist would say, see that? Only those that He will can be saved. Now look at verse 24. Just a few verses after that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What is the person, what's man's responsibility? In that verse. Believeth. Okay? They need to believe. And so you can see God's sovereignty in all this, but man's responsibility. And we'll go through many verses here this morning and see this over and over. Alright, let's turn to, John 6:37. And we'll see this right here in the same verse. "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me." Okay, that's God's sovereignty there. Now the rest of the verse. "And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." So, God is saying there, that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me and will no wise cast out. So we see that, again, right there in that verse, man's responsibility to come to the Savior. I preached a couple weeks ago on being sanctified, secured, and selected. And, a Calvinist might say, oh, yeah, selected, that's a great point. But the problem is that call, in Jude there it says, are called, that's where I got the word selected, is a universal call. And we'll see that in some other verses. He says in many verses, how about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life." You see, we can't get around that, and if we look at this, we see how can God be sovereign and yet man have responsibility? But we see it over and over in the scriptures that God is sovereign and man does have responsibility to respond to that call. And when you and I answer that call, it becomes a personal call. Each and every one of us have been called. If you've been saved. Now, interestingly, I don't know any body who believes the Bible and yet before they get saved they believe in election or in Calvinism. But often after people get saved and they study, sometimes they come to that conclusion, which I know Pastor Schweitzer has taught on it and did a very good job as well on that. So if you struggle with this, I'd encourage you to get that message, those messages that Pastor preached on. But I want you just to see this in Scripture here. Let's go to John 6, verse 40. We read verse 37. Look what verse 40 says. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." So you see there again, man's responsibility is to believe. In John 6:44, we're right there. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now we look at that and say, okay, man cannot come to God unless God draws him. That's true. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Can you see that? Can you see how simple and plain that is in the Scripture? God's sovereignty, man's responsibility regarding salvation. John 6:35. Let's look at that. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again, we see man's responsibility, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to God. Okay? It says in John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. God was willing to give them life. They were unwilling to come to Christ. Okay? God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. By the way, I have a good friend who believed like I believe, and but he had another friend who was a Calvinist and convinced him that man does not have a responsibility. It's all of God, not of man at all. And he's so convinced of it now that he goes to a church, and he's been to several churches, and if they don't teach that in the church, he leaves. Listen, that is really one-sided, isn't it? I mean, we're to teach the whole counsel of God. And for somebody to get hung up just on this one thing about God's sovereignty and that we've been preordained, I think that's very foolish. And he's a very intelligent man. But and sadly, a lot of those that really are intelligent seem... sometimes, not all, of course, but they go to this. They look at the Scriptures. And listen, we see here clearly in Scripture both of them, and I hope that you see that this morning. All right, where did I tell you to turn? Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. All right, Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Okay? God's sovereignty there. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay? Again, we see God's sovereignty there. Now let's look at Acts 2:37 and 38. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What was man's responsibility? To repent. Okay? And there again, we see God's responsibility, God's sovereignty, and man's responsibility. They were to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then verse 40, in the same passage here. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Okay, man's responsibility to believe, man's responsibility to be saved. And let's turn to Acts 13:48. And I know this, eventually this might seem like beating a dead horse, but we're going to look at them anyway. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's make this a little bit more interesting. Let's make sure you're awake this morning. Whoever's sleeping, I'm going to call on you to read a verse, okay? All right. Brother looks pretty sleepy back there. Brother Mike Deal? No, he doesn't. Brother Mike, would you read Acts 13:38? 48, I'm sorry.
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
All right, there you see it. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, let's look at verse 38 and 39. I got a lot of verses here, so let's go to verse 38 and 39. Brother Sean, would you read that, please?
Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe were justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Right, do you see there again, verse 39? And by him all that believe are justified. So we see both. We see both God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Remember the story of Lydia? It says, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Who opened Lydia's heart? God did. And then and that's found in Acts 16:14. If we went to Acts 16:30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Again, we see God working in this sovereign way in man's salvation, and yet man has a responsibility to respond to that. And we can see it over and over. Romans 3:10, a very familiar verse to most all of you. It says, there is none that seeketh after God. And then Acts 17:27, it says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There is none that seeketh after God. Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? So we see we are to seek after God. Man naturally doesn't, but we need to seek God. And of course, even after we're saved. And by the way, it says in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But again, we see God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, this is Sunday school, so let's I don't want to be real formal. And anybody have any comments at this point in time? I know there's some great minds out there, much greater than mine. And many of you read maybe some things on this as well. Maybe have something to share, maybe to enlighten a little bit. I'll give you opportunity a little bit later, too, if you want to. But again, folks, we are not going to fully understand this. And to be honest with you, we don't have to fully understand it. We just have to accept God's word. And I remember Daryl Champlin, a missionary who's now dead, he remembers, he was saying how some of the old-time Presbyterians, even though they believed in election and sovereignty of God and so forth, he said they still went out and were great soul winners. Listen, we can't just sit back and say, well, since God's going to do the saving and I don't really have any responsibility in it, God's going to save who he's going to save, and so I don't need to do anything. No, we can't think that way. Well, the Bible tells us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't have to worry about taking to the gospel to someone who, by the way, all can come to Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't fully understand it, but I do accept it. Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 5, says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. By the way, I never seen in scripture, maybe you have, has he ever said that he's predestinated some to hell? I've never seen that. But he's predestinated some to the adoption of sons. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure and will. I think it's in Peter somewhere. Pastor pointed out to me one time about where it says they denied the Lord, something to this effect. I'm not quoting it word for word. That bought them. Jesus Christ paid the debt of sin. He shed his blood for every single human being. But man has a responsibility when they are confronted with the truth of God's word to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't force them to believe. It's their choice. It's their responsibility. And we see it over and over and over in scripture here. Let's go to right in the same chapter here, verses 12 and 13. Now we see man's responsibility. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed of promise. You see? We see God's sovereignty. We see man's responsibility right here in the same portion of Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Familiar verse. Probably everybody, hopefully everybody in this room can quote it. I hope you're memorizing Scripture. It helps us. Who wants to quote Ephesians 2, 8 for me? Brother Jim, good. Alright, very good. Those first phrase there, for by grace are you saved. Whose responsibility is that? That's God's, right? The grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. What is faith? That's man's responsibility. And it's the gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. Okay? We see God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. Alright, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Verses 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, but we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We see there again God's sovereignty. We see just a smidgen of God's, man's responsibility there in the end of verse 13 and belief of the truth. Okay? Let's look at verses 10 and 12 now. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they did what? they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Whose responsibility is there? Man's, right? Okay. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. By the way, it's not God's that saying that he damned them. They're damned because they believe not the truth. Okay? I hope you see that there. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and I'm trying to go in order here. 2 Timothy 1:9. Honestly, if somebody comes to me and they want to argue this, I really don't want to argue it. Because I really don't have the wisdom to convince them one way or the other. I may take them to some verses, but you know what? They usually don't want to hear it anyway. I've argued a few times with somebody who believes that man has no responsibility whatsoever in their salvation. And it really is kind of pointless because I think there's some very simple verses, just one verse alone that can teach us this, but they take some of these other things, and by the way, like I said, I'm not super bright. I'm not real good at arguing it with them. But I really believe the scriptures do show us that God is sovereign. We have to believe that. And that man does have responsibility regarding salvation. All right. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, baptism before the foundation of the world." But on going in, it says, "Whosoever will may come." Let's look at 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4. Says there, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It's a good verse, isn't it? We're going to talk about that a little bit in the next service. But we are soldiers, chosen as a soldier. And by the way, we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a battle, and I was reminded not long ago, one night, a little bit of free time, and I turned the TV on, and they had the Democratic National Convention on. I was watching just a little bit of that, and I turned it soon off, because I can't stand to listen to this. And I won't tell you who was talking at the time, but I thought to myself, what a wicked person. And I felt some hatred built up in my heart. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't think that way. Because I remember the words that Pastor had preached some time ago. The enemy is not people. The enemy is Satan. These people are just deceived. And I believe Satan's behind a lot of it. In fact, I know he is. And we need to love those people because they're lost. Sadly, some of them may be reprobate. But we are in a battle. God has chosen you and I to be soldiers of the cross. And our enemy is Satan. And the only way to defeat him is to submit ourselves to God, resist him, and he will flee from us. We're to humble ourselves before God. We're to humble ourselves and submit to his word, to his scripture. And we need to, even as Christ defeated Satan, it is written. And we need to remind Satan all the time. Thus saith the Lord. But we were chosen as soldiers. Okay? Now, let me get to man's responsibility. I've read verse 3. Let's look at verse 2 Timothy 4:10. it isn't a verse. Let's see. The verse I'm looking for is this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the true. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Where is that found? I wrote the wrong thing down. Sound familiar? Is it in the Bible? Let me read it again. I apologize. I wrote down the wrong reference somehow. But it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." See man's responsibility there? Can we not see that? We who are saved have only God to thank for our salvation. I'm so thankful God saved me. And when I think about that, it just thrills my soul. A child of God. I answered the call of salvation through a gospel tract. I could have said, you know, I don't believe this junk, like many people do. And even as I heard one missionary say, he gave somebody a gospel tract and they crumbled it up and started to eat it. Saying, you know what? Kind of a defiant way of saying, I don't believe this stuff. You can take your tract and just get out of here. But there was a night, I was about 11, 12 years old. I still remember the night. I don't remember the date. I didn't write it down. But I remember reading about Jesus Christ. I read about my sin, that I'm a sinner, and I knew that. I probably shared it many times. I was a spoiled brat. I was a baby of five children. And my brothers and sisters said, "You got away with everything." And they were envious of that. Mom and Dad didn't spank me, but they got spanked for everything, and they didn't get to do the things that I got to do. You know how it is if you have a number of children. First one, you are so strict. By the fifth one, just go, get out of here. And when I read that track, I knew I'd sinned. And it told me that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. I don't know how much I heard before that, but that track was enough to convince me that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And that night I prayed and said, "God, forgive me for my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I ask Him to come into my life and be my Savior." And I became a child of God. And listen, I could have said, "You know what? I don't believe this. This is fairy tale stuff." But I didn't. Why? I don't understand it. But I was saved. And I have only God to thank. Just like you do. But those who are lost cannot blame God. Listen, we do need to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And I'm thankful for missionaries like Becky Pope and others that go and tell people about Jesus Christ. But man has a responsibility to accept that call. The saved person thankfully says, "I'm going to heaven because of God's grace." The lost person must truthfully say, "I'm lost because I did not choose God." Their damnation is not based upon God's rejection of them, but upon their rejection of God. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You see, I often say to people, there are really only two types of people. As far as God's concerned, those that believe have eternal life. Those that don't believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them. Mark 16:16 says this: "He that believeth shall not be damned." That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And John 5:40, as we read before, and ye will not come to me that ye might be saved. Man does not contribute to his own salvation. It is a work of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. God does not contribute to man's unbelief. This is man's work. God alone must do the saving. Man must do the believing. God must get all the glory and all the credit, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:29 and verse 31. Unbelieving man must not take the blame. Unbelieving man must take the blame. Excuse me. The believer saved by grace can gratefully sing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. I'll just give you a couple things here and then we'll be done. And I'm thankful I had enough information here to last us through the time. I hope this was somewhat interesting to you. And I hope you understand God is sovereign, but you and I have responsibility. Some examples of wicked men fulfilling God's plan. We'll go to the story of Joseph. And Genesis 45, verses 5 and 7, just taking some snippets out of there, it says, God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to save your lives. That's God's sovereignty, right? God did it. But listen to what Joseph says in Genesis 50 verses 4 and 5. I am Joseph whom ye sold into Egypt. Ye sold me hither. God's sovereignty, but man had something to do with it. Can you explain that? I cannot. How about Genesis 50 and verse 20? But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Ye thought evil against me. See man's responsibility there? Man had a part in that. Ye thought evil against me. We should have looked at these, but our time's almost up. Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Speaking of God's determinate counsel that Jesus Christ should be crucified, just like he said. Let's turn to that one place yet. Acts 2. Let's look at it and we'll be done. Actually, I think I have one other, but I might finish with this. Acts 2, verse 23. Says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Okay, that's God's sovereignty. Here's man. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Do you see? Wicked man fulfilling God's plan. And let's do it. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. And I promise that is it. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 14. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Look at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from beginning chosen you to salvation, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I'm sure that